Looking today at Ephesians chapter 2. I'm taking the title for the message from verse 4. God who is rich in mercy. But God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were unlovely. When we were dead in sin, he quickened us together. That word quickened, it means to make alive. The word of God is quick and powerful. Remember Hebrews 4 verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. That word quick means living. Even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us. He's made us alive together with Christ, by whose grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer right now, because the Lord Jesus Christ is our representative man, and because he's delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, where is the Lord Jesus Christ right now? Seated in the heavenlies. When he by himself purged our sin, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Where are believers right now? In him, seated in the heavenlies, in Christ. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved. Now, two things are most evident when we look at this portion of God's Word, Ephesians 2, verse 1, down through verse 10, at least, or really the whole chapter, or the whole book, all the Bible. We see two things clearly set forth. Our own sin, the exceeding sinfulness of our sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all know that, don't we? And the second thing we see, God's grace in Christ and the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. The exceeding riches of his grace. The grace of God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, we see something of what we are by nature. Something of what we are by birth, practice, and choice. And you who were dead in sin. I'm going to leave that "you" hath he quickened and save it for verse 5. And you who were dead in trespasses. That is, we have violated the law of God. And we are sinners. Wherein, verse 2, in time past you walked according to the course of this world. How is that? Away from God, according to the prince of the power of the air, influenced by Satan and satanic forces, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conduct in time past, living for the flesh, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind of the mind. And we're by nature children. By nature children of wrath. Children of condemnation. Even as others. So here's a vivid description of what we are by nature. Dead in sin. Dead in offenses against God. Oh, physically alive in the flesh, but spiritually dead in sin. How did we get that way? Remember, by one man, sin entered into this world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. All men are sinners. Everybody that has been born of a woman, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Your children, my children, everybody. born in sin, dead in Adam, dead and separated from God. He says down here in verse 12, he said, you were aliens, strangers, having no hope and without God in this world. Now that's us by nature, separated from God. You remember Isaiah 59, that your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Dead without God. Dead without spiritual life. Dead without Christ. How dead? Spiritually so. Graveyard dead. Dead. Dead and rotten. Dead and smelly. Dead like Lazarus, who'd been in the grave for 4 days, and they said, don't remove the stone. That man, his corpse, is nothing but smelly, rotting flesh. That's exactly what we are before God. Dead, rotten, smelly, guilty before God. Dead in sin and therefore guilty before God. There is none righteous, no, not one. You remember, turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 says this. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 10, Romans 3. We have before proved Jew, Gentile, they're all under sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. Oh, in case you missed it, no, not one. You see that? Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. You see verse 20? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Look down to verse 23. But for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody is a sinner. There is none righteous, no, not one. Completely unable to produce anything good. The only thing we can produce naturally is S-I-N. Sin. Started way back. Genesis chapter 6, the Lord said, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The reason of the spiritual deadness in sin is because of Adam's fall. When Adam sinned, we sinned in him. When Adam fell, we fell in him. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. In Adam, all died. He was a representative man. When he lived, we lived. When he fell, we fell. When God drove him out of the garden, he put us out too. There's no way back in except in Christ. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. We're sinners by representation in Adam. We're sinners by imputation. His sin was charged to you. To me, guilty as charged. We're also sinners not only by original sin, but also we're sinners by actual sins against God. You have sinned against God. I have sinned against God. This corrupt state of sin and guilt and spiritual deadness is passed from one generation to another. Sinners can only produce sinners. Cows and horses, cows produce cows. Horses produce horses. Sinners only produce sinners. That's what we are. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity, born totally dead, with a depraved, dead heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Dead so much so that our understanding is darkened. Our will is perverted in rebellion against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Our affection is void of true love. We love darkness instead of light. Our mind is corrupted. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That word enmity means hatred. The natural man is at war with God. Now, not the God of his imagination, but the true and living God. That's what the scriptures teach. We call that, there's a theological term for that, and we call that being totally depraved. Totally depraved. The only way you know that you are totally depraved is that God teaches you what you are. We think too highly of ourselves and too low about God. If we deny this, that we are sinners through and through, if we deny this, if we say we have no sin, 1 John 1:7, if we say we have no sin, singular, sin nature, principle, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. You know, salvation's for sinners. You'll never know anything about salvation unless God teaches you you're a sinner. You'll never know anything about regeneration unless God teaches you are totally ruined in Adam. You'll never know anything about salvation unless God teaches you what you are. You'll see no need of the Savior. If you think you're not a sinner, you won't seek salvation in Christ. If you deny this truth, that you are a sinner before God, it's to call God a liar because he says you are sin. Sin is what we are. Sins, iniquity, and trespasses is what we do because of what we are. We are sin. S-I-N. I'm a sinner in need of salvation. Now, if God ever teaches you that, you'll seek mercy in Christ. Look at verse 2. He describes this here. Where in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, this ungodly world. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air. You were influenced by satanic influences, which are usually influences of self-righteousness. He parades as an angel of light. He preaches righteousness by the deeds of the law. The spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our conduct in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Now, that's a gruesome list, is it not? That's just God being brutally honest, describing us as we really are in this flesh. The course of this world, we walked according to the course of this ungodly world, unbelieving world, and it's a course away from God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself, having a great influence over us. Unbelievers walk after him in rebellion and pride and seek to do his will because Satan reigns in the heart of unbelievers. Our Lord said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. It is the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience in rebellion against God. Verse 3 says, we all had our conduct, our conversation, before we met the Savior in time past. This is how we walked. This is the condition of walk and life before we believe the gospel. Paul said, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. We talked about this morning, Saul of Tarsus, very, very zealous and religious, but lost. We know this was his story. And this is our story, too. It's true. In the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath. The wages of sin is death, right? But to the elect of God, he's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by his grace. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he came to set us free. We were in bondage to our sin under the curse of the law, being influenced by satanic influences, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, you see that verse 4? A big stop sign. Hold on. As they used to say years ago, hold the phone. Hold the phone. But God. But God. Thank God he didn't leave us there. We didn't deserve to be called. The wages of sin is death. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, he still loved us. You see, God has loved his people with an everlasting love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see God's glorious intervention. The only reason for salvation is the Lord's purpose and grace in Christ Jesus, in his rich mercy toward us. Look what it says across the page in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. But God, who is rich in his mercy. He's rich in mercy. He is merciful. God delights to show mercy. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You cannot exhaust the storehouse of his mercy. His mercy is plenteous, free, and infinite. We take our place before his throne of grace as mercy beggars. I had a man tell me one time, said, Preacher, I just don't know how to pray. Don't know what to pray for. Don't know how to pray. Don't know anything about it. I said, pray this way. Seven words. Seven words. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's my constant plea. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Lord, blot out my sin. Mercy. He said, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Remember what we read in Titus chapter 3, verse 5? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Who needs mercy? The miserable. Who needs grace? Those who are sinners. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. You see, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His great love. What would you say about the love of God? His love is great love. His love is holy love. His great love wherewith he loved us even when we were unlovely. His great love. God is love. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 said, when we were yet without strength, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. We only love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. His great love is an everlasting love. His great love is an electing love. He chose us because he elected us in love. His great love is sacrificial love. He loved us so much that he gave himself for our sins. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. His great love is saving love. We sing unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. His great love is sovereign love. It's a hail sovereign love that first began a scheme to rescue fallen men. Sovereign love, Jacob by my love, Esau have I hated. His great love is unconditional love. His great love is never-ending love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is love in Christ. Verse 5, look at verse 5, Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were so dead in our sin, spiritually dead in our sin, he died for our sins according to the scripture, put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. And because he finished salvation for us and putting away our sin, he quickened us. He made us alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He hath quickened us together with Christ. And I like the marginal reference on the word, by grace are you saved, by whose grace you are saved. We're saved by the grace of God. It says that down here in verse 8. For by grace are you saved. Whose grace is it? It's God's grace. God's grace through faith. Where'd you get that faith? Faith is a gift of God, is it not? It's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's certainly not of works, lest any man should boast. He quickened us who were dead. His sovereign love reached down to us when we were in the vilest condition. Our sin and our depravity was no hindrance to his love and mercy toward us. For he came to save. Whom did he come to save? This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And I can say with Paul, I'm the chief one. He came to seek and to save the lost. The Lord, by his mighty power, has raised us up from the spiritual grave of death, dead in sin, and quickened us together with Christ. Notice that. Hath quickened us together with Christ. When God raised him up from the dead, you see, he came as a representative man. Adam was a representative man. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Romans 5:19. But it goes on to say, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Quickened us together with Christ. By his grace we are saved. By God's grace and his grace alone. Look at verse 6. He raised us up together. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a representative man. He lived honoring the law of God in every precept. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. In his life, he honored every precept. In his death, he satisfied the penalty of that law. He was buried because he died for our sin. On the third day, God raised him up. 40 days later, he ascended to glory and he's seated in the heavenlies. What's true of him? What's true of the head? It's true of the body. Where he is, we are in him. See what he says there? Raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is called in the book of Hebrews our forerunner. Our forerunner has entered in to the very presence of God, occupies the throne of God for us, and we're seated in him right now. In him, in Christ. God's grace alone. Verse 6, raised us up together, made us sit together. Notice, together, raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Everything God has for sinners is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're quickened together with Christ, raised up together with Christ, made to sit in the heavenlies together with the Lord Jesus Christ alone. One God, one mediator between God and men. That's why he ever lived to make intercession for us, seated at the right hand of God. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing what? He ever lives right now to intercede for us. That's the good news of the gospel. That, verse 7, in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are going to be rewarded because Christ is our exceeding great reward. And in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. God's going to show off his elect, his bride. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory both now and forever. And then he says, amen. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. When God grants faith, he grants repentance. Both faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance toward God, they both come together at the same time. When God grants repentance, he grants faith. When he grants faith, he grants repentance. Both faith and repentance. Do you want to know if you can tell? You can tell this. How can I tell if my faith is genuine? How can I tell if my repentance is genuine? Well, the scripture says in Titus and in 2 Timothy that both faith, that's a gift of God, that's called the precious gift of God, both faith and repentance acknowledge salvations of the Lord. Does your faith acknowledge that salvations of the Lord? Does your repentance say in your heart, salvation is of the Lord? Then you have the repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. They both acknowledge that salvation is of the Lord. Look at verse 4 one more time. But God. Boy, just think about that. But God. Who made you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? Why would you boast? But God, who is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, by whose grace you are saved. We are saved by the grace of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.